hearts, O Master, who lovest mankind with the pure light of thy divine knowledge. Open the eyes of our mind to the understanding of thy gospel teachings. Implant also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, that trampling down all carnal desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. For thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our God, and to thee do we send up glory, together with thy Father, who is from everlasting, and that good and all holy and life-creating Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Wisdom, let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. St. John. Glory to thee, O Lord. Glory to thee. Let us attend. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Therefore many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, Truly this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Now some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, Why have you not brought him? The officers answered, No man ever spoke like this man. Then the Pharisees answered them, Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed. Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing? They answered and said to him, Are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has risen out of Galilee. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.
Glory to thee, O Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. It says that the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. But follow with reverence the logic of this word of the Lord, the divine logic, its theology. The glory of the Father with which the Lord Jesus is glorified is of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus therefore speaks of the glory that he had with the Father before the world was, he is teaching us the divine dogma of the Holy Trinity. But that the Spirit is not yet given doesn't mean that Jesus is not without the Holy Spirit at all. Remember, the Lord Jesus was conceived in the womb of the Most Holy Virgin of the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit overshadowed the Most Pure Virgin, just as the glory of God overshadowed the Old Testament temple, both the tent of meeting of the Exodus and the temple of Solomon built of stone in Jerusalem. And remember that when the Holy Spirit overshadowed the temple, no one could enter it. Not the priests, not even Moses, because of the glory of the Lord. Remember that by the Spirit, the Lord was crowned King of creation at the Jordan and was led into the wilderness where he triumphed over the devil. By the Spirit, he cast out the devils with his little finger. As Son of God who became Son of Man, the Lord Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit. He lived in the Holy Spirit. He suffered on the cross in the Holy Spirit. And he was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit. And if he ascended in glory, it means that he ascended in the Holy Spirit. The glory of the Holy Spirit that dwelt in the Savior was seen visibly by the apostles on Mount Tabor. The psalmist says, "You send forth your Spirit, and they are created. You renew the face of the earth." In the Spirit, God the Father created the world by his Word, who was in the beginning with the Father. The Holy Apostle John proclaims that this Word of the Father, by whom all things were created, became flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, he pitched his body as the tent of meeting, or the moving temple of the Exodus, the moving temple of the Gospel's inner Exodus. He pitched his body as the tent of meeting, as the temple among us. But if the Word of God, by whom all things were created, and in whom is the life of God, in other words, the Holy Spirit, if this Word of God has himself become flesh, if he who has become like us, it means that a mighty work of creation is taking place. And when we heard in the Acts of the Apostles just now, how the people were proclaiming, exclaiming with wonder and awe, how they were hearing the wonders of the works of God in their own language. The works of God is creation language. They were hearing the mystery of God creating the world in the Lord Jesus Christ by his death and resurrection. And if this Word of God has become flesh, it means that a mighty work of creation is taking place. It is taking place in the Holy Spirit, or in the glory of God that abides in Christ, and it is taking place in the flesh of man. We read in the Wisdom of Solomon, God did not create death. Indeed, by what logic could one accept death as natural to anything that the living God would create by his Word, who is the resurrection and the life, in his Holy Spirit, the living water from heaven? How could such a God create anything that would die? But it says, he created the generations to be soteriae. That's what it says in the Greek. How do you translate it? It's the same word for salvation. He created the generations to be saved, or he created the generations for salvation. But soteriae means to be healthy. It means to be free. And so it even means to be eternal. And so you could translate it, he created the generations to be healthy, to be free, to be eternal, existing in the well-being of eternal being, of God's own eternal being. And it goes on to say, he created man for immortality and made him in the image of God, in the image of the icon of his own eternity, so that we die, and that everything is subject to corruption is the consequence, and it is the theological evidence of man's disobedience. Again, as Holy Scripture bears witness. Yet God has said by his prophet, I do not will, this is an important word, I do not will the death of the sinner, but that he turn from his sin and live. We talk about the will of God. What is the will of God? This is not the will of God. The death of a sinner. That is not his will. And he did not will the death of the world. His will is that the sinner, even the sinner, should turn from his wickedness and live. His will is that everything should live. That's his will. And that's why he created the world for life, for health, for joy, for well-being in eternal being. The Lord says through Isaiah, my word, my logos, my dabar, that goes forth from my mouth, will not return to me empty until it has accomplished what I have willed. And I have put your ways aright and made my commandments prosperous. One sees here in the word of Isaiah very clearly a prophecy of the mystery of God's incarnation. Until I have put your ways aright, until I have restored the ways of your life to the better and changeless path that ascends to God. Here is the inner exodus of the gospel, accomplished in the Lord's own exodus. His descent into Hades, his resurrection from the dead as coming out from the Red Sea, as coming out from the Jordan, and his ascension into heaven in the glory of the Holy Spirit into the kingdom of heaven, the promised land. Look closely and you will see how the Lord's life in the flesh is the template for the history of Israel. It's the stamp, the divine stamp, that impresses itself upon the history of Israel. Remember, Israel comes to being in the mystery of Isaac's birth from Sarah, who was as good as dead. So even Israel exists in the kind of a resurrection. It gives a divine stamp to that history of Israel. So therefore, everyone who is of the new Israel is impressed with this divine stamp of the divine word incarnate of Christ's death, resurrection, and his ascension into glory. We are stamped with it, and that is the character of our inner biography if we are of the new Israel. Isaiah says, until I have made my commandments prosperous or successful. Which commandments should we talk about? Which commandments might he have in mind? Shall we say all of the commandments that are comprehended in the first commandment? Which is what? Let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be life. In wisdom, in other words, by his word and his Holy Spirit, God made the world. And how did he make it? He made it good. He even made it very good. If that commandment of the Lord is made prosperous or successful, it means that even the evil that has been brought in by man's sin is made good by God's goodness. How so? It's made good by God's goodness, by his own death in obedience, by which he destroys death, the substance of disobedience. In other words, his desire that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth is accomplished and is made successful by his Holy Spirit in his life-creating death on the cross. But it says that the Spirit was not yet given. That means then that the mighty work of creation was not yet finished until God cried out on the cross, it is finished, as though in answer to his first commandment, let there be. Let that commandment now be finished. Let it be perfected. Let it be accomplished. It says he gave up the Spirit. This is how the Gospels describe his death on the cross. This is how the English translates what the Greek says of Christ dying on the cross. He gave up the Spirit. But it can also be translated as he sent forth the Spirit when he died on the cross. And when he sent forth his Spirit, as we read in the Psalms, he sends forth his Spirit, and what happens? The creation is created and the face of the earth is renewed. And what happened when Christ died on the cross? The curtain of the temple was torn in two. That means that earth is now opened onto heaven. That means that death has been opened onto life. Hades has been flooded with light. Hades has become the threshold over which we cross into the light of heaven. It says that the bodies of the saints who had been in the tombs, their graves were opened, and that they came forth, and many were seen entering the holy city. Is that the holy city of Jerusalem, or is that the holy city of the heavenly Jerusalem? I believe it's the latter. And all of this was prophesied by the prophet Ezekiel. And when Christ was laid in the tomb, it says in the Greek, and it's missed in so many of the English translations, it says in the Greek that the light of the Sabbath was already beginning to dawn. It was beginning to grow light. The Sabbath was beginning to grow light. Which Sabbath? The Sabbath. The Sabbath of the Lord's death and his burial in the tomb on Holy Friday and his rest in the tomb on Holy Sabbath. That is the Sabbath. Christ's death and his resurrection and his ascension in glory. Can you see? It is the mystery of creation. In the worship of Christ's holy church. And what is the church? It's his body. It's Christ's body. In the mystery of Christ's church, in the mystery of his holy body that was crucified, buried, and risen from the dead and has ascended in glory, in the church we stand in the beginning of creation. Here we behold creation's purpose. Here we see the creation's accomplishment, its perfection, that what God wills, the salvation of all, in the eternal life that comes from knowing the Father, it has been inexpressibly fulfilled, inexpressibly finished and perfected in God's mighty work of creation, which was his death on the cross. The holy Pascha of the Father's word, our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ and his ascension in glory, is the template of creation. Hear me clearly. The creation is not the template of Holy Pascha. Holy Pascha is the template of creation. The Lord's death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, his ascension into glory. This is the divine stamp that gives to the creation its shape and its character. What is the proof? What is the proof? By what theophany can we assert in the confidence of faith that this is so? Number one, that Christ's Holy Pascha is the work of creation finished. And number two, that Christ's Holy Pascha is the template of creation, the stamp that gives creation its shape and its character. What is the proof? Dear faithful, it is the Holy Spirit descending on the holy apostles as tongues of fire. And I dare say it is the same Holy Spirit descending in the mystery of his holy church, his body that was crucified, risen, and ascended in glory on those who believe in him in their holy baptism, in their eating and drinking of his most pure body and precious blood, and in the heavenly joy that penetrates the soul from the cleansing of their sins all the way down into the pit of their heart, where we are deep beyond all things, where we are true self. In this mystery of Holy Pentecost, the theophany, I think we might say, the theophany of God's mighty work of creation on the cross and his and of the Holy Sabbath of his burial. In this mystery of the church, the tomb of our heart is transformed into the bridal chamber of Christ's tomb, or rather, it is transformed into the blessed Sabbath of Christ. For when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ and unite ourselves to him in the tomb of our heart, we are emptied of death. And we are renewed with the life of his holy resurrection and the light of his Holy Spirit. The face of the earth, the spirit of our body, is renewed. We are made alive in a new and right spirit, the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. This theophany is not outward. It is manifested within us, in the joy that floods the inner being, in the mystery that is not of this world. The divine mystery of Christ's holy church, the mystery of being born of the Holy Spirit from above and becoming a child of God. This is the theophany of God that manifests to us within our soul that Christ is God the Son, who on the cross has created the world and renewed it. In this, the will of God for his creation, that we should live eternally in the salvation, and the health, the joy, the well-being of Christ's joy is accomplished. And the principle of our nature, which is our having been made in the image of God's own eternity, is perfected. This glorification is not accomplished, however, except through the death of God on the cross. And so also, it is not accomplished in us except we unite ourselves to Christ in a death like his. But the death that we die in union with Christ is the death of what's earthly in us. In other words, it's the death of the idolatry of our self-love. So when we deny ourselves for the sake of Christ and take up our cross to unite ourselves to him in a death like his, this is the beginning of our being united to him in a resurrection and glorification like his. It is our Pentecost, the receiving of Christ's Holy Spirit, to become a new creation in the life and the light of Christ, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen. Most Holy Theotokos, save us.